Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. My name is Angela, and I am filling in for Maggie with my friends Dan Schaefer and Matt Rothschild. And right before the break, we were talking about Dan's piece about how the governor should not seek another term for re-election. And there are some comments, but I think this one is a good place to continue the conversation. Nancy from Madison writes, "We need to continue to support Governor Evers to run for another term. I don't see a Democrat in the wings who would win. It's also unlikely Dems will take the Assembly or Senate. Evers has been the only one to stop the Republicans. He has the support of those in the center and independent. We don't want Hovde Voss or Walker again as governor." What say you, Dan?
There's a lot there, and I think I welcome this kind of criticism because I think that we need to be having this conversation. Yeah. Because, I mean, just look at where we are. Look at what just happened last year with Biden dropping out the way that he did. I think there is a real risk involved with running candidates in their mid to late 70s for these important offices like this. And in this moment, you know, we need people who are going to bring the fight to the Trump administration. And I think it was interesting here talking about having the support of the center and independents. What do you think about that aspect of this?
Yeah, because that's why I wanted to read this comment. It was that particular line about he has the support of center and independents. And I don't disagree with that. But my pushback is that what is needed in this moment? We are living, we've been talking all show and numerous shows about we are living in fascism and what is happening in LA. Do we need, is the solution or the answer to fascism moderates? You know, Darren and I wrote in our piece that this now is not the time to concede to fascism. And I don't know if independent, well, depending on how people identify as independent, but specifically the center and even some Republicans, right? Is that something that we need to meet this moment? And I think it's a very valid question. And I appreciate Nancy for asking it. Because I think it's kind of that iron sharpens irons. We're having this discussion, you know, in public. But I personally don't think if we're living in such extreme times, like this is not even 2016, right? This is now. If we weren't living in such extreme times, I would say, you know, maybe there could be some validity to if that is something we need to continue to do. But I think these times are so drastic and so dire that you need someone with that spirit and that fight to go toe to toe, not necessarily the more moderate folks, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. But my issues with Evers, though, have never really been all that ideological.
Sure.
Like this argument that I'm making in this piece is not one of a lot of like ideological disagreements or policy differences or whatever it is. It really has that's your job. That's right. The main thing that I'm bringing in this argument is the age factor and the how that stymies the next generation of leadership from having the opportunities to move forward and how that is counterproductive to our democracy. I think if, you know, staying in past the time where you should be in office is its own form of small d democratic undoing as well. And one example that I brought forth in the piece that, you know, I did my research on this one and I looked at past examples to, you know, when people might have passed the torch. And so in May of 2011, the late Herb Kohl was 76 years old when he announced he'd be retiring at the end of his term. So this was coming right off of the 2010 midterms when the Democrats got absolutely washed and Scott Walker won and Ron Johnson won and the Republicans won a trifecta. So that, you know, that seat was far from certain to be held by a Democrat at that time in the 2012 election. But the quote here from Herb Kohl at the news conference announcing his retirement was this, quote, "The office doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the people of Wisconsin, and there is something to be said for not staying in office too long." So, does Tony Evers want his legacy to be more like that of Herb Kohl, who retired at the right time, passed the torch to Tammy Baldwin, and got to spend his golden years riding shotgun
saw that picture.
in the car leading the Bucks championship parade?
Yeah.
Or do you want your golden years to be spent dodging questions about whether or not you were mentally competent while in office, whether or not you're covering that up, and whether that contributed to the rise of fascism in America. Yeah. Whose legacy would you rather have? These are the two paths I see to a certain extent right now. There is the Herb Kohl path of retiring at the right time.
Yeah.
And there's the Joe Biden path of staying on way too long and ignoring all of the criticism to uphold whatever level of personal glory that Biden wanted to be real. Right.
Yeah.
And so I think that is a really important part of this, too. So, like, I think heed the words of the late Senator Herb Kohl.
I will also say that you've also said that, you know, we talked about there's a Venn diagram. You know, Tony Evers is not Joe Biden. Right. Like, there is some overlap. There's some similarities there. You know, but I see a text from Wes from Middleton. Evers is the man. Tony Evers is not Joe Biden, which I think is fair. But I think a lot of times people were wondering, can Joe Biden win, right? Because there was all these challenges happening. My question to you, and maybe it's a little bit of a loaded question, if the governor decides to run for another term, do you think he could win?
I think he could. Okay. Yeah, I think he could. And I think, you know, he'd probably be the favorite, especially considering the field of Republicans that are putting together. That's another part of why I think, you know, Democrats shouldn't be so afraid to pass the torch, because look at who they might be up against right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think this could backfire.
Yeah,
it could backfire because, look, there's a lot of risk involved when you are in your mid 70s. Like, there's a reason this is generally considered retirement age.
Yeah.
And I think Democrats, you know, this is a problem for Republicans, too. Mm-hmm. Trump is also too old to be president.
Absolutely.
He
yeah.
is the oldest person ever elected president. So there are also these problems with that, too. But this has been so much more of a pronounced problem for Democrats and those on the left. I think you look back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg not retiring when she should have right after President Barack Obama was reelected.
Yeah.
And another statistic here that I have in the piece, 8 members of Congress have died in office since November 2022, including 3 who have died in office since November's elections. All Democrats, by the way. This has been a massive, inescapable problem for the party. And until somebody like Tony Evers, somebody when it is a genuine question, makes the decision of saying, yes, I'm going to pass the torch, I'm going to step aside when the time is right, then I think they are going to keep confronting this problem over and over and over again. And we see in Wisconsin how what happens here can have national ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing for like 80-year-old Dick Durbin in a safe blue seat in Illinois to retire.
Yeah.
It's another thing when you have a fairly popular purple state governor when it really honestly could go either way.
Yeah.
But I think Democrats need to recognize the credibility problem that the Joe Biden's 2024 really brought them. And I think they need to address this head on. And I think no better way to do that than to actually take action and say, yep, it's time for me to step aside. I've served the state well. It's time for a new generation.
I think that's a good point. We have a couple calls. Let's go to Wisco Paul.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I, for one, think Tony's done a great job as a governor, but it's time to pass the torch. And for one, the current lieutenant governor is an awesome person. I've met her a couple of times, and in fact, I'll meet her this weekend at the Democratic convention. So, You need to get younger people involved in politics and let them carry the or let them show the way. That's just my opinion. So, yeah, heaven forbid we have another Joe Biden. That's scary. Thank you,
Wisco Paul. I think that's a helpful. You know, I was wondering how folks would kind of feel, right? There are some folks that are like, you're trashing the governor. It's like, actually, you know, and this is not just a shameless plug for the recombobulation area, but I do say that everybody should take the time to read Dan's piece, because what I will say, no matter where you fall on the argument one way or another, I believe that this piece is incredibly fair. It's not like, hey, this man's old and it's just this ageist, you know, piece of writing. It's not that. I think there's some very legitimate things that I think some folks have been kind of whispering about. But then there's also some points of like, oh, I didn't really think about that. But I encourage folks to kind of check it out and to kind of make their own assumptions for it.
To Wisco Paul's point there about the, you know, the potential people who would run, you know, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is on that short list of potential candidates. The list that I ran through in the piece there, Attorney General Josh Call, State Senator Kel DeRoyes, WISDEM's Chair Ben Wickler, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and then also the Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, there have been times in the past where I don't think Democrats have had the best bench necessarily.
Sure.
I don't think that's necessarily the case now. I think these are a lot of qualified candidates. And again, I may have, there may be people on this list that I would favor over others.
But even if you don't like them, those are good, that's a good field.
Sure, right. You got, and I'm sure there would be way more candidates who would jump into the mix
too.
But I also think like it's going to be up to the voters to decide. Like until it goes from the hypothetical to the reality, we really don't know what kind of message, you know, certain candidates might be bringing. We don't know what people are going to want to say.
Yeah.
You know, just like think back to the kind of VP sweepstakes last year. Like I loved when Tim Walz got into the mix. I ended up being a big Tim Walz fan in the process.
Me too.
But like, until you're actually out there campaigning and having a message, you don't know really how that's going to connect.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think about all of this?
Well, number one, I think Evers should announce soon. I think, you know, the longer he waits, the more he does a disservice to the other candidates who may be considering. It just freezes the whole thing up. I'm all about, passing the torch to a new generation. I do think the Democrats nationally have become sclerotic. I mean, Chuck Schumer's got to go. And, you know, they deprived AOC of a chairmanship of an important committee because there was an old person who had terminal cancer, and they didn't want to deprive that person of the ability to run the committee for a couple months before he died. That's just a ridiculous reason. I mean, I get the humanity of it, but, you know, this isn't, you know, that's not what it's about. You know,
it's not about whose turn it is.
You can be nice to the person who's got terminal cancer, but don't give the person just a title for 3 months because he's got terminal cancer. That's ridiculous. Pass the torch on. Let's get some new blood, some new leadership. And so I see that. I mean, Governor Evers has been a really good governor. He just supported a letter by other Democratic governors opposing Trump's move in California, saying how outrageous it was. Well, I applaud him for that.
A lot of letters and lawsuits. And I you're right. He's been doing the work there.
But yeah, I mean, I'm all for opening the process up and getting new candidates in there. And there's no sin against running against an incumbent either. I mean, even if he says he wants to run, you know, the other candidates could run too, with the possible exception of the lieutenant governor would be in a tough spot.
Yeah, that'd be slightly awkward, just a little bit.
Yeah, I do wonder if somebody would, you know, just consider challenging him in a primary at all, even just like in a Dean Phillips way. Remember Dean Phillips?
Who
ran against Biden saying
that it was,
you know, the entirely vindicated argument of Dean Phillips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Forgot about that whole
period.
Yeah,
he looks good today.
Yeah.
More on this when we come back. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. We've been having a really great discussion so far. And unfortunately, only got a couple minutes left. But tune in and we will pick this up on the other side.